I was praising God early this morning on my bed because it's a bit cold just to study and pray and seek God early morning for me. I sometimes get up and pace, but this morning I was in bed preparing for this morning, and I was thinking of how many wonderful miracles we've seen, and I've just heard of another two. Of real signs of God's goodness. And I just, you know, in some ways, there's been a partnership in a couple of the miracles with the NHS, but I believe God works healing both through the NHS and the provision that he has made, both in human ability, but also in the earth, in provision of science and development. And so I see that as the goodness of God expressed and brought into reality in people's lives, as well as direct miracles. Now, I know that in one situation we've given thanks for today, that they did never expect it, the person who was on treatment, to fully receive a report like this. So I also know God has done something supernatural within that context of his provision through the health service. So we thank God for all things, but we also thank God for the instant and the demonstration of his spirit and power, but it's all the goodness of God. It's because he's good, and he loves to do people good. And this year, following on from that amazing time, speaking out who God is to us and worshipping him as the way maker and the miracle worker, the promise keeper, light in the darkness. We are, I believe, on the verge of seeing real turnarounds, not just in health and healing, but also in whole families and communities. God is on the move. And he wants us to partner with him. He needs partnership, actually. He's chosen to use partners, friends, he calls. Jesus called his disciples, didn't he? Those who were with him and had been through the journey with Jesus and were still with him, following him. He said, "You're my friends if you do what I command you." And he also said, "I make known to my friends what I'm doing. I no longer call you just servants." We're always servants. We'll always obey him. But he's calling us to a new level of friendship, of hearing his voice, and partnering with him to prophesy his promise and to turn back the tide. And in this image, and if you're listening online, you won't see it, but I can describe it a bit to you. You've got kind of smaller waves coming in. And I don't want you to see that as a good thing in terms of the tide. What God's saying is it's all the things the enemy's doing, all the stuff that he doesn't want on earth, because he wants it as it is in heaven, on earth. And so I like waves, but this is speaking of really things that aren't good. And if you look at those waves, they kind of get bigger and bigger until actually that doesn't give it the right perspective. They were massive the day that photograph was taken. I was there. And I would not like to have been anywhere near that wave because I think I'd have been taken out. And I think sometimes, you know, in life, there are the little troubling waves. But there are also the big ones. But I believe we can turn the tide on every wave, whether they're little or they're big. God wants us to prophesy the promise and see a turnaround. And that would include your workplace. It's for individuals and peoples, for the people we love, our family. But it's also for our friends. And it's for the workplace, the people we meet who are desperate for a turnaround in their lives that only God can bring. And God calls you and I to partner with him to see a turnaround of the tides of negativity and destruction and bad things happening on earth. Jesus set the bar really high when he said, "I want heaven on earth." Didn't he? I call that a high goal. Because we know, you know, if you belong to Jesus, you're going to heaven. But he said, "I don't just want it to all happen when you're there. I want heaven on earth. And we're going to partner with God this year in a very new way through friendship, being close to Jesus, following hard after him with our hearts, but also understanding how to apply the teaching of Jesus in our own lives. Because very often we get these amazing words and these amazing, this year's going to be a turnaround. It's going to be a change around. It's going to be something amazing. But we've got to understand how. Otherwise, if we don't understand how to apply the teaching of Jesus to our lives, then it becomes just words. And we've really got to know how to do this and do it well. And I want to tell you this morning, Jesus wants you to know how to do it and to do it well. And we've already prayed for light. And so I believe light's going to come, not just information for your brain, but the entrance of his word will bring light in your darkness so that you can see how to turn the tide. And I know many of you here this morning might be facing a very tough situation. And I trust it's because of God's compassion and love you will hear this message in a fresh way and begin to apply, do what Jesus says. And some of you have read this many a time, what I'm going to teach from this morning. But I did read something that was quite new for me from the book of Job. I've never really seen it before. And Job said, the Lord said to Job in Job 38:33, "Do you know the laws of the heavens? Can you set up God's dominion on earth?" God said, "Do you know the laws of the heavens? Can you bring God's reign or God's kingdom on earth?" Well, in the old covenant, no. The prophets used to be able to bring about the reign of God. And those kings who were anointed to bring God's will to pass, they had an anointing to do that. But now the church of Jesus Christ, or every believer, is in a new position with God. No longer are we kind of just human. So when you stand in front of that tide, the sea coming in, it's not just little old you standing there. It's Christ in you. It's a completely different picture of who you are. And Jesus was always teaching about the kingdom, how the kingdom comes, how heaven actually comes on the earth. And I think this is a really good question. Do you know or understand how to bring heaven on earth? Do you know, beloved, how to do this? Can you set up God's dominion on earth where you work, in your family, in your community? Can you do it? And I want to tell you, this teaching is reserved for disciples. Because Jesus would teach about the laws of the kingdom of heaven. He would teach about the principles of heaven. Now, a law or a principle is something that works every time with predictable results. Okay? So do you know the laws of heaven? Something that works every time with predictable results. So, for example, the law of gravity. Drop an apple, it will fall. Okay, so that's a law that works in our everyday experience. Some of you know a lot more about gravity than me. There's another law called the law of lift. If you apply the law of lift, you can supersede gravity and fly. But without applying the law of lift, if you jump from a three-story building, you will experience gravity in a negative way. Crash. Okay? There are laws or principles by which things work. And there are predictable results. Now, Jesus taught the disciples the laws or the principles of the kingdom. And they are perfect. And they always work. When you apply the teaching of how they work, when you understand how those laws or principles work. And Jesus had this group of disciples. Do you remember? He taught, say, for example, the parable of the sower. He taught on many things about the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is like a seed. The kingdom of heaven. He kept speaking about the kingdom. And he said to the disciples, to them who are outside, don't get it. But to you who are on the inside with me, believers and followers, to you has been given the understanding of the kingdom of heaven. I call that inside blessings. About being in relationship with Jesus, hearing his word, but being given understanding. The book of Proverbs is always say, cry out for understanding. So you'll understand how life works God's way. How you can bring perfect heaven on earth. Okay? So we need understanding of how God's laws and principles work so that we can set up God's dominion on earth as it is in heaven. We've already done that this morning, praying, believing prayers for the sick. And God's law and principle, if you believe, when you pray, that you've received it, you will have it. That's a principle of seeing God's kingdom come. Right? So we've already seen an application of God's law, God's principles this morning. Now Jesus operated in this principle all the time. But Jesus didn't operate independently of his Father. So he was always a man listening. He's Son of God, but he became man. He's our perfect example of how life works. He demonstrated to us how life's supposed to work, and he demonstrated the goodness of God through everything that he did. And he always heard what the Father was saying, and then he spoke what he was hearing. You could say he prophesied what God was saying. And it always happened. For Jesus, it was predictable. He wasn't wondering, I wonder if it might work. Let's try this believing speaking thing. Let's give it a go. Jesus was like, this is how God works, and this is how he works through people. You hear God, you speak it, and it happens. And people experience turnaround. He spoke in one place with one man who believed and said, just say a word and my servant will be healed. My servant's miles away. But if you say it here, it'll happen there. And that servant was instantly healed because Jesus spoke and it was. All creation came and was created. There was a creation that happened when God said, let there be light. Scientists don't yet get it, but God's word is still going, and light is still being created, and universes keep... God hasn't called a halt to his word. God said, let there be light, and there was. And Jesus spoke to demons that were afflicting and tormenting people, because demons exist and they do trouble people. They bring affliction, they bring sickness, they bring mental torment. Jesus spoke and the demons left. He cast out demons with a word, the scripture says. He spoke a word. He was hearing it, speaking it, and it happened in a storm where there was trouble coming. The tide was actually coming into the boat. They were sinking. Jesus stood and spoke. And it happened. There was peace restored to an ocean. That's quite a big tide. to stop. And Jesus actually said the same works as me, and greater still, beloved, wonderful follower of Jesus Christ, the same works as Jesus and greater still, you will do. Not everybody else, but you will do. Why? Because God, he went back to the Father and sent the Spirit. Now the Spirit of God, God himself, lives in you. And so it is possible for every born-again believer to turn every tide that's coming against them, because God Almighty lives in you. And my sheep, Jesus said, hear my voice. And when you hear God say something to you, something so powerful happens that you can speak and turn around any situation that is bringing destruction, trouble, sickness, problems, strife, whatever, into your life and family and even the community. Nations, even. Peter didn't really understand yet, and Peter was learning on his journey with Jesus how the kingdom of heaven works. And there was one day, one night really, he had been out fishing all night. And I don't know if you've ever worked and worked and worked and got nothing. But it's a miserable situation to be in. When you're working really hard and you never get enough. You haven't got enough. And so he was on the shore mending the nets. Jesus was using one of his boats to teach. And then Jesus, rather than just teaching the crowds, I think this is really interesting. He gave a personal word to Peter. So God said to him personally. And God spoke, Jesus spoke and said, launch out into the deep for a catch. Well, see, this is where we've got to get our heads right about the word of the Lord. Peter could have said to Jesus, bringing the word of God to him, you're not a fisherman. What do you know about fishing? My business. I'm the expert out in those seas. This is my expertise. And I know there are no fish biting. It's a bad time for fish. He could have said that to Jesus. But you know, God knows everything about everything. Whatever you're in, he knows everything about it. And he knows everything about how it can work differently. But the solution is God speaking to a person. That they hear Jesus personally say something. And Peter, you know, he's mending his nets. It's like, rough night. I can imagine he was a bit miffed. I would be if I'd been working hard all night. Nothing. I mean, I don't like fishing. I'd never go. But if I caught nothing, I'd be like, why would you go back? I know it's one of the most popular sports on earth. But I mean, fishing rod, bank. I've got a friend who does this for hours. I'm like, carry on. Like, I'm not going for nothing. Imagine sitting back. I'm like, I want a fish. If I'm fishing, I want fish. But Peter lived by this. This was his livelihood. That's why hearing the word on a Sunday or at any point in your life, I might not be an expert in it, what you're doing, but I can bring a word from the expert. Hello. Praise the Lord. So Peter says, well, we've worked hard all night, but nevertheless, at your word. There's the brilliance of Peter. He got it right. He said, okay, you've said it. Come on, guys, let's push out again. They went out after hearing. And what Jesus had said happened. They threw the nets out and they caught more fish than they could handle. Came back, fell to his knees and was astonished. I love that. Peter was astonished. Can I just add here, Jesus was not astonished. But Peter was learning that you can see God's solutions and answers and be astonished for a while, but get used to it because it's a law and principle which always works with predictable results. But Jesus wasn't astonished. He was like, well, yeah, I said it. God said it to me. I spoke. It happened. Of course it's going to happen. Because no word returns empty, but every word God speaks that comes out of his mouth will accomplish everything it's been sent to do. So if he's wanting to accomplish fish, fish come, jumping into that net. See, that's the kind of fishing I'd do. Say a word, Lord. Say a word, Lord. Boom. That's my kind of fishing. But that's me. That's my character. But just say a word. Jesus wasn't astonished. Another time, the disciples heard Jesus speak to a fig tree. Look, it's funny when you don't understand the laws of heaven. You think it's weird. But I tell you, I talk to my phone when it doesn't work. I don't think it's that weird. Come on. You do talk to things, don't you? Kick your car. Come on, start. So the disciples heard Jesus. He'd gone up to this tree to find some fruit. There was no fruit on it. Don't let's get too complicated on it. Because Jesus is teaching the disciples a lesson. That's the most important thing. That God wants to bring understanding into our lives of how to bring heaven to earth. It's the most important thing. Don't get tied up in all the undercurrents of what Jesus is doing. He speaks to this tree. Let no one ever eat fruit from you again, because he couldn't find fruit. He was disappointed in the tree. Should be, you know, because it had leaves on. Gave the appearance of fruitfulness. With a fig tree, if it's got leaves, it means grab a fig. The leaves show there's fruit. So he went up to this tree, no fruit. What? It's a hypocritical tree. It's a hypocrite. All leaves, no fruit. No comment. And Jesus kind of went on his way, went into the temple, went back to Bethany, I think that's where he was staying. And then in the morning, back up, back out to Jerusalem, walking along the exact same tree that he said, don't let anyone eat fruit from you again. Now for Jesus, it was like, ain't no fruit ever coming from that again. Because he'd already said it. It was the will of God in that situation. He'd heard it. And Peter's walking along going, glasses off, glasses on, if there were any. Does anybody see that same tree? That tree there. Andrew, Philip. Did you hear him say that yesterday? And he went, I'm astonished. See, the natural mind is so accustomed to working the old way that you're surprised when it works God's way. And Peter's coming into an understanding of how life should work and must work for us to bring heaven's dominion on earth. And so Peter said, look, Lord, look, the tree. It's dead, but it's not just dead. It's dead from the roots. I love it when he speaks a word, because every disease doesn't just get improved. It dies from the root. Amen. He cancels out completely the ability of that evil thing to keep producing. Thank you, Jesus. That's our God, miracle worker. So Peter going, Lord, this is incredible. You spoke to that tree. And he was saying, you know, whatever I speak to, whatever a situation I speak into, things change. Tides get turned. Situations turn around. And then he said, actually, I'm using this as a kind of teaching. And I know you know this, but I'm going to keep going. Isn't he amazing that he even wants us to know how to bring heaven's dominion? Friends of Jesus are in the know about how life works. They hear him and they speak what he says and they get the same results, predictable results. Mark 11. Thank you, Lord. Verse 22. So Jesus answered Peter's surprise and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says will be done, he will have what he says. Therefore, what I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. So Jesus is taking an object lesson, the fig tree, and saying, I want you to understand how to bring my dominion, heaven on earth, to bring my will into this world, into your life, into your circumstances, into your body, into your relationships, into your children, and into your future. Amen. And he says, have faith in God. Turn the tide. We have faith in God. We speak faith. And we pray with faith. Jesus said, have faith, speak faith, and pray with faith. And your mountain or your tide will move. Yes. And we've got to connect in our lives, believing and speaking with seeing God move. Yes. And work miracles. Just let light come on, Lord. Have faith, speak faith, pray with faith. Now, I hope you've got the cha-ching moment that there is a word in each part of those 1, 2, 3 steps. And that is faith. Okay. Faith. Without it, it won't work. So, some people, you know, they speak faith. Lovely people. We've all done it as well. We haven't yet come to faith. And we can do a parrot fashion quotation of faith. Yeah? And parrots don't get miracles. Even if you taught them to say what Jesus says in a particular context, parrots don't get miracles. Peace, be still. I remember watching a program recently from Japan, and they have loads of robots. Families have loads of robots who go around. They talk to them as friends. Might be coming here someday. But God can't speak to a robot. Because a robot doesn't have a spirit or a heart and isn't a living thing. Right? So robots won't partner with God apart from maybe telling you the word, but you've got to have faith for it to work, and some person has to speak. Okay. So this is for all of us who believe and are following Jesus. This is how you're going to see turnaround of impossible situations. Sometimes the biggest wave is coming for you, but you have Christ in you, and you can hear God and speak faith and turn that thing around and believe God for a miracle. This is your calling. This is what you're called to do. Bring heaven on earth. Tell somebody next to you, that's very exciting. We don't have to tell them if you don't want to, but I think it's very exciting. It's good to confess it, isn't it? So, faith is the key. Faith is the key to speaking faith, praying with faith, and having faith. Faith is the word. Now, what is faith? Bible defines it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith, another translation says, is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we don't yet see. So in other words, faith isn't hope. If somebody prays for you and you say, praise God, it's going to happen. And you say, I do hope so. That's not faith. Hope gives you the goal or expectation of something good. It's important to have hope. But without faith, you won't accomplish that goal. It won't happen for you, right? So faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain I haven't yet seen it. Faith actually is based on everything God says and you hear it personally. It's a personal faith. You've got to understand this will work for you if it becomes your sure and certain of what you hope for. Now, one of the wonderful gifts of salvation, one of the fruits of salvation, is when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you believe that he died for you and he rose again from the dead. You believe with your heart, you confess with your mouth, you're saved. You believe in your heart, not just your mind, not I hope so, I hope I'm going to heaven. You know that you're saved. You know you're forgiven. You know God has come into your life and you have a new start. There's another gift I think is wonderful, because if I asked everybody here who's accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, do you know you're going to heaven? I know I am. Does anybody else know? Through faith in Jesus, you're going to heaven. What a glorious gift that is. That's a gift of faith. That came from God. I know I'm going to heaven because I believe in Jesus and confess him my Lord. Now, I've never seen heaven. You'll be surprised. I'm not one of those who've gone walking around and come back to tell you what it's like. I have never been. But I don't need to go to believe. I don't need to feel it to believe it. And I don't need to fall over slain in the spirit to experience it. I am going. And I know that I know that I know that I know that I am. I'm not just hoping I'm going to heaven. I believe that's my destiny. And that's a wonderful, that's faith. Sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. You know I'm forgiven. Because God's word says that I'm forgiven. And I know that if I say sorry, even the things that I do wrong put me back into that state of perfect oneness with the Lord. It doesn't mean to say I'm in, out, in and out of the Lord. I'm in Christ. But it bothers my relationship with him when there's sin. But if I confess it, do you know what happens? Delete. I know I've been forgiven. As soon as I confess it, I go, thank God, I'm forgiven. So that's faith, being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. Now, so if we need faith to move mountains, turn tides, right? To speak and things move. Things change because you speak. If we need faith, how does it come? So we're going to get the understanding from Jesus of how do I get faith? Because I want it. Does anybody want faith? For every single tide that's coming, I want faith. Because I'm going to have faith to turn it around. So how does faith come? Well, the answer, you always answer your questions with scripture. Amen. You don't talk to someone online. You go to the word of God. Or someone who's a bit of an unusual Christian who doesn't bring the word of God as the answer. Okay, so we understand how to do life because of what the scripture says. Faith comes, Romans 10:17. This is how faith comes to you. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Bible is called the word of God, scripture. But it doesn't just come by reading, although you read it and it can come that way, because you can hear, because the Holy Spirit in you will suddenly, oh, that word's really God saying that to me. That's how he speaks. Faith will come by hearing the word. It doesn't just come by speaking and speaking and speaking, although I have spoken over myself, the word of God, the promise of God, and faith suddenly comes. But it comes because I'm hearing with my heart. Not just my mind, because your mind isn't the place faith is from. You can have positive thinking, because the Bible tells us we should, because it does us a whole lot of good. We live really well whatsoever things are lovely, good report, noble, true. Think on these things. Think. So our mind's really important with following Jesus. But our mind isn't faith. So in a storm, I could be thinking positively, but it would be glug, glug, glug. I can go down happy. Does anybody get that? You're still awake? You can be in trouble and think positive, but it will be, I'm going down with it. But I'm going happy. Well, of course, it's better to go happy. In a positive state. But only faith will turn things around. So faith needs to come to me when I'm in a situation of need or trouble, when I see situations that aren't right in people's lives and I want to help them. Because we all do. We're here to help the world with the love of Jesus. But faith will only come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Bible says, how can anybody believe unless they first hear? Okay. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word. Positive thinking is important. Hope mindset, your mind renewed by the word. See, the Holy Spirit's ministry. I've heard some people speak some funny things like it's all word, word, word at Kingdom Faith. Oh, yes, it is, my darling, because with the Lord it's all word, word, word. But it's by the Spirit. It's the Spirit-given word that works in every situation. Amen. The Spirit-given word. And God is watching over his word to perform it. Okay, so my concern this morning is not to go too far too fast, is that we understand faith. Because if that's the most important ingredient in the teaching of Jesus, how to bring heaven to earth, then we need to have an understanding or a refreshing of teaching from the word of how faith comes and what faith is. Being sure and certain, but it's also this coming because I'm hearing. Like Peter, he heard Jesus say to him, launch out. Now the fishermen down the road might have said, well, God said that to him, so let's launch. No fish. But the good news is, all the promises are yours in Christ that are in Scripture, hundreds of them. But it's the faith that comes from hearing a promise that changes things for you. How are we doing? Good. So you're understanding the ways, the laws, the principles that work every time. I want it to work every time. So I want to understand the laws and principles of heaven. So faith begins when you personally hear a word from God. Can't go beyond that really this morning. I just feel the Lord saying, faith begins when you hear from him a word from God. Whether it's in a meeting this morning, you are hearing. But whether it's on your time, seek God. You know, if I have a problem, I seek God for a word. Because I know the word is the answer. But hearing the word is what I need. So I might know and quote all scriptures. Because I know quite a lot now. But I need the now word, the Spirit-given word for this particular circumstance or situation in my life that I don't seem to be able to overcome personally. God will give me a word to bring an answer and bring a solution. If you think about your heart as a bag, you know, has anybody played Scrabble? Don't like games, don't like Scrabble. But anyway, I played Scrabble because I suppose I'm not very good at Scrabble. And you know, you generally don't do things you're not very good at. So I don't like words and I get bored. So you can have letters in a bag. But if you think about your heart being like a Scrabble bag with words in, yeah, you've got words on the inside. Now, in that bag, Jesus actually said, out of the abundance of your bag, your heart, your mouth speaks. The abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. He's speaking in Mark 11. Who believes in his heart, he will have what he says. Now, there can be a mixture in your bag. Good words and bad words. And God wants to eliminate all the bad words of how no good you are, how rubbish you are, how bad things are bound to happen to you because they've always happened to you, how I've always been a warrior, of how I'm just like my mum or my dad, or this isn't going to go well for my future. All the bad words he wants out of your Scrabble bag. And he wants to put his word in. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by his word. And as soon as you've heard it, it's in the bag. It's actually the beginning, or the miracle, is to have faith. Because faith, first of all, is the answer for everything that you're facing. Faith that comes from hearing, hearing by the word, the promises of God. Faith comes in your bag. Now, Satan uses the negative side of this to get us to speak bad things. I'm not going to deal with that today, but let me tell you, you will have what you say. So if I speak bad, it will happen bad. But if I speak what God is saying, even when I can't see it, and I can't feel it, and there's absolutely no evidence of it, I can speak it, and it will come into being. Getting it? Now, some of us have done this, and maybe it didn't work before. Well, I have to tell you that it's always God's will to bring heaven on earth. That I'm not yet fully perfect. I am in the spirit, but in my outworking. But I wanted to see more and more and more and more of applying God's laws for predictable results. And if there's a problem, I know it's not with God. Could be the enemy. Could be a situation that you just don't understand. Or do you know what? Sometimes it's just plain old me. And I'm quite secure in the love of God to say, sometimes I'm not where I should be. Is that okay? But I don't want to stay there like Peter. I don't want to kind of keep operating in the natural realm because God's laws are more powerful than natural laws. And so I want him to continually teach me that if I believe in my heart and speak what God has spoken to me, it will move mountains and turn tides around. Now, there's a saying that we have. I don't know if you've heard before, a prophet of doom. Has anybody ever heard a prophet of doom? Well, Satan's the ultimate prophet of doom and gloom. Prophet speaking, isn't it? Speaking, 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 negatively speaking, gloom. You know, it's the glass half empty. It's always, always never good enough, and it's always a problem, and it's always... And he speaks, and he creates circumstances to get you to believe in the doom and gloom. So you believe more in the doom and gloom than you do in God and his promise. He tries to get you to look at the picture of doom and gloom or the circumstance that is really happening and begin to define what you believe by what you're seeing and feeling. We understand that, don't we? Because sometimes problems happen, and what can happen is on the inside, you can start to accept it can speak to you, those doom and gloom things, and they can get into you. But I tell you, he's not having my Scrabble bag anymore. We have to resolve. If we're going to be prophesying the promise and turning the tide, we must resolve not to listen to what the enemy's doing, because he loves to speak doom and gloom over our lives. Fear of what might happen or could happen. Fear of a circumstance and something in your future that's going wrong, or fear of something repeating itself again, coming back. Has anybody ever been told something's coming back to get you? Or this is going to always be like this. Just live with it. No, it's not in Jesus' name. No, you're not going to live burdened by those issues forever. Jesus is on the scene to turn things around. But he's wanting us to understand things can be completely different if we listen to the teaching of Jesus and apply it. You know, fear is one of the weapons of the enemy. And there's a situation I'm going to finish this morning. Praise the Lord. We're not going glug glug this year. Say no glug glug for me. I'm not going down. Come on. I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I believe you will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I believe it, and so I speak. The Spirit's just given me that word, and I declare it over you. I believe you will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. How many of you believe that? Yeah, you know it to be true. Speak it over your life right now. Say, I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, I've just heard God, it's going to be a good year. Amen. It's going to be a good year. Thank you, Jesus. I believe it. And I speak it. And it will come to pass. In the history of God's people, Israel, and, you know, all scripture is given so that we can learn. And I think, the thing is, I've kind of learned this myself from my own experience, but there's a situation in Isaiah 7 where God's people were under attack from the enemy, and like a massive opposition. And it wasn't like a spirit realm fight, although it was. There was a real army coming against them. And you know, there is a spirit realm fight, but there's also manifestations of what the enemy's doing in situations and circumstances you can look at and say, that's actually happening. So faith isn't denial of a problem. Okay, I just feel I need to major on that. Faith isn't denying there's a problem. People who were sick went to Jesus and got well. They weren't at home denying it. Praise the Lord. So faith isn't denying there's a problem. Faith works to bring solutions to change the problem. Okay, so faith believes what you haven't felt or experienced yet or seen happen yet. Just because it hasn't happened doesn't mean it's not happening. Say it again. Just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it's not happening. And we were singing, God is working all the time. And we believe it. And so we speak it. And God is working all the time. But if I say, God's doing nothing, nothing's happening for me, guess what? Nothing will happen for you. But God is working. God is working. God is a miracle worker. He's making a way where there is no way. He's bringing solutions into my lives, and he's going to speak to me because I'm his child. He's my father. Jesus is my friend, and he has something to say about this. Amen. And so in the overwhelming trouble, in Isaiah 7 verse 2, there's this one scripture that describes the response of people to trouble. Verse 2, it says, his heart, this is the people, their heart and the heart of the people were moved as the trees of the woods are moved with the wind. So in other words, they had this report, they had this real situation, which was that big tidal wave that without God they couldn't stop. And it's like they were moved like trees in the wind. Now, have you seen a shh? Okay, well, fear can make you wobble like jelly. Do we have a picture of jelly up on the board? Yeah, on the screen. Fear makes you Now, it can make you wobble for a moment, But it also can make you wobble for a long time. And that is horrid. Has anybody had a wobble that's gone on and been horrid? Because fear can do that to us and make us wobble on the inside. It's like Satan speaking through that situation, and our response is, ah, this is terrible. But God is always mindful of you. He's always thinking about you. He's always got his eye on you because you are his beloved. He never takes his eyes off you because he loves his people. And so he sends actually to his people a prophet because God heard and saw the response that was going on and knew that if they carried on like that, the army would take them over. Unless God was allowed to step into the heart of his people, they would be taken out. We need God. I need God. Every day of my life, I need God in the big things and the little things. So God sends a prophet who's going to speak from God, bring a word. And God speaks into this, actually it's a leader. Leaders can wobble. I've wobbled with some situations. And you know what I've learned to do? I get with Jesus and say, Lord, speak. I need faith. I need the wobble to stop. You know, faith stops the wobble. It stops the fear. It stops you shaking. It stops you being anxious. And God comes with a word and he speaks and he says, okay, the enemy said, I'm going to trouble you, make a gap in your wall, destroy you. But I'm saying, I love this, I am saying, it won't take place. It won't happen. Two voices. Whose will you believe? Real circumstances were coming in to take you out, or God saying it's not going to happen. You know, you have a choice whether you'll believe God or your fears. You get to choose when you hear God. Will I believe it like Mary? Let it be to me according to your word. I accept it. It's in my bag. Let it be to me. I don't feel anything. I don't feel I'm in faith. I just accept the word. Or will I believe the problem? And believing problems is a spiral that takes you out of control into more problems. But believing what God says is the answer that takes you into moving your mountain, turning a tide, and seeing a miracle. A miraculous change by the power of God. It's not going to happen. I want you to tell anything that is intimidating you right now. God says, it's not going to happen. God says, you see, we've got to say to our circumstances what God says. Jesus said, you will have what you say. I say, it's not going to happen. It's not going to take place. So when those feelings start to rise, you immediately say, God says, over every fear in this room and in the hearing of this word, God is saying, it's not going to happen. Only believe and you will see the glory of God. Only believe and you will see the glory. Simple faith. Childlike faith. And then God goes on to say, and nobody here is going to be like this, but he spoke to the leader, actually, and the people, if you will not believe, it's not going to work for you, even though I've said it. If you won't believe it, it won't work for you, even though I've said it. Is that mega? Which means that we have a part to play in everything that God does in our lives. And that would include getting saved. Jesus has already done the work for everyone to be saved. But the moment you get saved was when you believe. Okay, the miracle happened was when you believed. You were saved. And so the miracle will happen when you believe what God is saying. That over every fear in your life, it will not take place. Every hereditary problem, every situation that you are facing in your body, your circumstance, God is saying, it won't happen. Only believe it, and you will see it. We have choices to make. And Jesus said, have the faith that comes from God. Have the faith that comes from hearing what God is saying. He knows it's all cracking off around you, but he's saying, just listen to what I'm saying, and you will have faith. And when you've got faith, you can start speaking. But don't think it's going to move until that faith comes. And so isn't it important in these days, if we're going to be people who believe God, that we're listening, that we're hearing the word of God. Read your Bible until you hear. Read your Bible every day. Sometimes 3 times a day if you need it. Because God will give faith to you. Don't live in the hope realm alone. Have faith, which is sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Do we understand the laws of heaven, of God's laws? Can we set up God's dominion on earth? The answer is yes. Can you?
Yes.
Question from the Lord after hearing him speak to you this morning. He's taught you. From his word, you've been taught. Can you do it?
Yes.
That's exciting.
Yes,
that's really exciting that you can do this. You're designed to believe God. He made you to be a believer. And faith will come by hearing, hearing by the word. Shut out all other voices and listen to the voice of your good shepherd. He will lead you into moving mountains and seeing change. Finally, just to finish, and we're going to pray now. When you fear, don't. Stop wobbling. Right? When you fear, don't. Jesus said, do not let your heart be troubled. Don't wobble. Do not let. So Jesus was saying, you've got a part to play in stopping wobbling. You know, I can wobble out of control. That looks funny. But I could literally wobble off the platform if I looked at some of your faces. Wobble, wobble, wobble. Sometimes in some meetings I've had some looks that would cause any person to wobble. I've had people walk up the front and scream at me. I haven't wobbled. Why? Because I believe God is here. I believe he's with me. And I believe he lives in me. And no matter what's coming at me, I'm like, don't fear. Calm down. It's not don't panic. It's don't panic. God's here. It's not keep calm and carry on. It's keep calm. God's here. Change the slogan. Keep calm. God's here. Tell yourself, calm down. God's here. Tell yourself, calm down. God's here. And secondly, know that for every problem, He's got a promise for you. For every problem, He's got a promise for you. Praise the Lord. I love Jesus because He wants us to win. He looks out at His flock today and says, "You're my disciples. I've taught you the secret of the kingdom of heaven. Now apply this in your life." And it's very much a teaching Sunday, but it's also a faith Sunday. Because if you will believe it, your fears, they're not going to happen. Because God says they won't happen and they won't take place. Things in your future, situations that are looming large, no. God says, "Believe me, trust me, and trust what I'm saying." And for every situation, don't go and get prayer. Go to Jesus and get a word. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Go to Jesus and hear a fresh word from Him, because faith will come from hearing. Or the Holy Spirit in you will suddenly give you a word. I'm going to finish with this testimony. I've used it many times, but I don't care. It was so revolutionary for me. My nephew was in hospital, wasting away with an eating disorder. And they couldn't do anything for him. And he was just almost on a life support situation. And my brother and his wife thought they were going to lose him. They just didn't, he wasn't responding to anything, any help that the medics could give him, and they were doing everything that they could to try and help him. And early one Sunday morning, before I was coming out to minister here, the Holy Spirit surprisingly gave me a word. I wasn't even thinking about Edward, but He surprisingly gave me a word to speak. And He spoke it to me. I believed it, and I spoke it out to a hospital where Edward was lying, I don't know, Trowbridge, Bath area, around there. And I came in and served the Lord that morning, got home, and had a text from my brother. He said, "We've just had a miracle this morning. Edward's got up and started eating." Now, the word was from Isaiah, because I'd put it in my bag. I don't know, years before, it was in my bag. And the Spirit took it, popped it into my mind. I believe, because it was Jesus said the Holy Spirit would declare what Jesus is saying. I heard Him, like, that scripture came into my mind. Wasting will no longer be in your borders, nor destruction. And I spoke it out. It happened. Now, I'm telling you, this works. This is how to bring the government of God, the healing of God, the deliverance of God in every situation. But it's the Spirit-given word declared to you. Are you hearing the voice of the Lord? For every tide, there is a promise. For every mountain, there's something God's saying into it. And we're going to partner with the Holy Spirit, be friends of Jesus this year, prophesy the promise, and every tide will turn. Shall we stand? Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad He healed Edward? I am. He's my nephew. I love him. He was completely set free from someone speaking in a room. Do you know, some of you are going to speak stuff in a room, and somewhere else in the country or in another nation, things are going to change. Tell somebody next to you, "I believe that." God's going to use you to change people's lives. I believe it with all of my heart. Tell somebody next to you something you've heard from God this morning.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.